He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, well, playoffs could have started a little bit better. God. Unreal. The Minnesota Timberwolves came into the moneylaundering.com arena and absolutely stomped on the Lakers. 117-95 is the final. The Lakers now gave up a home court advantage. They no longer have that. And they didn't exactly fight all that hard for it either. The first quarter started and Luka was dominating, and the Lakers built a nice little early cushion. Unfortunately, Luka was the only one actually doing anything. And when he subbed out, the Lakers immediately fell off of a cliff and couldn't get back up. So, yeah, the Wolves, you know, I think the thing that everybody's going to pay the most attention to was the Wolves shooting 21 of 42 from three-point range. Not going to lose too many games shooting like that. You add Julius Randle, go 4 of 6 from three-point range. You add Naz Reid, go 6 of 9 from three-point range. Everybody was hitting them. Jaden McDaniels went 3 of 3. Mike Conley went 2 of 3. The only player who normally shoots pretty well and didn't was Dante DiVincenzo. And actually, for that matter, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, they both, one of them, Dante went 1 of 5, NAW went 1 of 6. And, yeah, I mean, the story, if we want to just look at things as simply as possible, is going to be that three-point shooting. But I don't know. There was a lot to this game that have me legit concerned. I don't think it's over. I think the Lakers have a chance at coming back. But basically, the Lakers ran with just small ball in this game. And, you know, Jackson Hayes only played, 8 minutes in this game. The rest of the, 48-minute game, the Lakers were hyper small, and the Timberwolves just absolutely dominated them physically. The Timberwolves grabbed 11 offensive rebounds in this one. They out-rebounded the Lakers 44-38. The Lakers turned the ball over 13 times in this one. They didn't shoot the ball very well from three-point range. Only Rui, in terms of role players, knocked down multiple three-pointers. Everybody else, you had Gabe go 1 of 3, Dorian went 1 of 3, LeBron went 1 of 5. He's not a role player, but you get my point. Luka went 5 of 10. Austin went 3 of 8. A lot of Austin's three-point shots were of the bleep it, I got to shoot here variety, and he didn't look very comfortable in this one. Minnesota, look, I think they deserve a ton of credit. They absolutely came out, punched the Lakers in the mouth after hearing everybody pick the Lakers over the course of the week. And the Lakers just never really responded. So we'll get into some of the specifics here in a bit. But on a very kind of macro level, super disappointing game from the Lakers in the sense that they got punched in the face. And they've been fairly resilient since Luka got there. They got punched in the face and pretty much folded. And, you know, you can't do that in a playoff series. We'll start. I actually want to start with JJ Redick in this one. The Lakers played for the most part in this game 8 guys. You had the starters, Rui, LeBron, Jackson, Luka, and Austin. And then you had Dorian, Vando, and Vincent get you know, rotation kind of minutes. Vando only played 14 minutes and Jackson only played 8 minutes. Gabe played 25 minutes in this one. And so, you know, essentially the Lakers, when you look at the kinds of players that they played, Gabe Vincent, Dorian Finney-Smith, Austin, Luka, LeBron, and Rui, that was essentially their seven-man rotation with a sprinkling in of Vando and Jackson Hayes. And the Lakers look really small, and they look really slow out there. Now, Minnesota is a hugely athletic team. They are they are long, they are athletic, and they are physical. And I thought, you know, Julius Randle in particular in this one was taking every opportunity to send an extra shove after the whistle and you know, a couple pushes in the back that pissed off the Lakers. Now, eventually he crossed that line and picked up a tech. But I thought the Lakers in this one, you know, because of the kinds of players that they played and who they mostly relied on, were pretty small and pretty unathletic. Jordan Goodwin didn't play in this game until the end of it. Dalton Connect didn't play at all in this game. And considering the Lakers couldn't throw a pea in the ocean from deep, maybe could have used Dalton Connect. Considering the Wolves were just attacking mercilessly, either Austin or Luka off of the dribble, maybe you could have used a little bit more of Jordan Goodwin because Gabe Vincent wasn't really doing anything out there. So one thing that I think that J.J. Redick is going to have to figure out is how to get at least another athlete out there on the court for longer than he had them there. Jackson Hayes was not a factor. The referee, this is a kind of weirdly refereed game. Referees let a lot of contact go on lobs. And just in general, I thought they missed a ton of calls that should have gone for the Lakers. But still, the Lakers shot 16 free throws and the Timberwolves shot 10. But for how physical a game this was, for both teams to combine for 26 free throws, I thought that was a little weird. But there were a couple possessions where the Lakers threw lobs and Jackson went up. And this really stood out to me when I watched him the couple of games live. He is very top heavy. And it looks even more so that way because of his hairstyle. But he is very easy to move off of the spot or to knock off of his jumping line to get him leaning one way or the other. He's just not a very imposing physical player in terms of girth. And, you know, he, in this one, I thought was getting thrown around like a rag doll. And at some point he's like, man, stand up for yourself. And he just didn't. It turns out he prefers smaller victims. It's just the Lakers are going to have to, if Minnesota is going to be that physical, the Lakers can't just shell up. They have to push back, and that physicality isn't going anywhere in this series. Minnesota knows the way to kind of bother the Lakers now, and they know to do so through physicality, and the Lakers are going to have to find a way, whether it's through different personnel or just in a different approach with the guys who are playing. The Lakers are going to have to find ways to be more physical than they were in this one because they got punked. You know, just be completely honest. They threw the first punch, the Lakers did, and Luka threw that first punch. But then after that first punch, the Timberwolves punched right back, and the Lakers were like, ow, what? You aren't allowed to, you know, it was kind of brutal to watch. So first and foremost, I think JJ's gonna have to play some guys or, you know, get into the heads of these guys. Hey, this is what this is going to be like. These guys are going to beat your ass one way or another. And in this case, that's how that looked. Also, you know, Krancic has done a great job over the course of the year of charting the amounts of organized offense. And it really stood out in this one how little organized offense they were running. J.J. Redick said after the game that he's going to have to find ways to involve LeBron in some off-ball action more frequently than they did tonight. And this was one of my concerns coming into the series with J.J. Redick as a head coach is Luka and LeBron are in, you know, they have had a ton of success in the NBA and throughout their basketball careers and lives playing a certain way. And it was going to be interesting to see how much they would respect J.J. Redick's play calls and the approach that he had. And in this one, it didn't really look like they respected it very much at all. So now you don't know how much of it is them ignoring play calls or J.J. Redick calling stuff at all. But the Lakers, you know, they aren't going to beat any of these teams in the Western Conference with a roll the ball out there offense. They need to be more organized than that. And so those are two kind of adjustments that I would kind of look for from the Lakers is running more shit and then also fighting back. In whether it's in terms of the guys who are out there or getting guys out there who will. Those are two of the things. But, you know, overall, one of my main concerns coming into it is it's really difficult to get bigger over the course of a series. And, you know, if the Lakers' small ball is the entirety of their identity, that makes it very difficult for that makes it very difficult for the Lakers to do anything to adjust. And Jackson's going to have to be better, or the Lakers small ball, they have to run more, they have to run more stuff, and they need to secure more rebounds. Cause yeah, the Lakers just weren't able to get out in transition. Minnesota all year has done a fantastic job keeping teams out of transition, and they've done a fantastic job over the course of the year of keeping teams uncomfortable at the three-point line, and they did so tonight. They did everything that they are really, really good at. They did it to their best abilities tonight, and the final score looks, you know, tells the story in this case. All right, let's. I want to talk about Luka in this one. There's a picture going around the internet right now of Anthony Edwards kind of taunting him, and Dallas Mavs are making sure to say, like, oh, he maybe shouldn't have done that. Luka started this game in, you know, scored 16 points in the first quarter, finished with 37. He finished with 37, 8, and 7. For the most part, I thought Luka was really, really good. And I thought he did a little too much grifting in some stretches there. But one of the things that's kind of driven me insane over the course of the year is how easily the Lakers give up switches. In Minnesota, they want Ant guarded by Austin. They want Ant guarded by Luka. And the Lakers are just like, okay. And I just don't think that that's a sustainable approach to defense. The Lakers are going to have to find ways to fight through some screens and to keep the guys matched. Because otherwise, if you play Jared Vanderbilt and then you give up a switch with even the softest of screens, then you may as well not have played Jared Vanderbilt because he's going to hurt you on the other end. And I thought Vando was pretty good tonight. He finished a minus two in a game the Lakers got blown out. So overall, I thought he was mostly fine, but you minimize his impact if you give up the switches as easily as the Lakers were giving them up. And I thought that really hurt the Lakers. I thought Rui was bad tonight. He had that one moment where Ant put him on the ground. Now he did knock down 3 of 7 from 3-point range. That was good to see, but only took 9 shots total. Finished with 9 points. If Rui is going to be in single digits this series, the Lakers are going to struggle. They need offense to come from somewhere, and Rui is their fourth most talented offensive player, and I thought he was pretty complacent in this game offensively to just kind of take the easy shot. So, but you know, as far as Luka goes, it's going to be interesting to see. It was almost like he got out in front and noticed that nobody was really out there with him, and then kind of came back to the crowd in terms of approach and how dynamic he looked out there on the court. And what he's going to have to do is like, and he's new there. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles this. But when he jumps out to that kind of a quick start, rather than fade back to where everybody else is, he's going to have to light some fire under some asses and be like, yo, get out here, you know? And without waiting up for the Lakers, because, you know, he sat down and then he came, you know, by the time he came back in, the Lakers were down double digits again. And it just looked like, you know, everybody was just kind of, well, now what? Who do we look to? Do we look to LeBron, who I thought didn't make the kind of impact that we thought he would coming into the series? Do we look to Luka, who I thought at times was also looking to LeBron? Do we look to Austin? I thought, you know, I don't, after this performance, I'm a little nervous about Austin's place in the series. He looked completely overwhelmed by Minnesota's length and athleticism. That's going to have to improve. But yeah, essentially, you know, if the Lakers are going to have success in the series, if Luka's going to jump out there to that kind of a hot start, everybody's going to have to up their energy level to where he was in that first quarter, rather than him fall back to the group in terms of energy and productivity. Because when he fell back to the group, Minnesota was like, oh, fuck yeah. And then they ran up the score. So, you know, the Lakers are going to have to run more stuff. And I think Luka is going to have to, you know, lead in ways that it's kind of tough to be the new guy and step in there and lead, but he's going to have to do some more of that. LeBron, I don't know, man. I thought that he was limited by the Lakers' own approach. Frankly, it's clear, and he does this right where first games of series he kind of feels it out and sees how, you know, what he needs to attack and stuff like that. So maybe that's what this game was. But I thought, you know, LeBron finished this game 19 points on 18 shots, only shot two free throws. And again, I thought the refereeing wasn't great. He had the one and one where I thought for sure he was going to pick up a tee. And then I think he tried to pick up a tee when he got fouled on a three pointer. The ref wasn't hearing it or didn't care that he was trying to pick up a tee. But yeah, one of the problems with how little the Lakers got out in transition is that's LeBron's, I think, primary source of productivity. And when the Lakers don't run to the extent that they didn't today, that's really going to limit that resource for him. And it makes him a worse player. It makes the Lakers a worse basketball team. So the Lakers are going to have to figure out a way when they get stops. Well, one, they need to get more stops. But two, when they get those stops, the Lakers are going to need to find a way to actually run on them and take advantage of those moments when Minnesota either turns the ball over or misses a three. Minnesota's not going to shoot like that again. We'll see. Minnesota shot really well second half of the season, but Minnesota, I don't think, is going to shoot like that again. And in those moments when they do miss from 3-point range, the Lakers are going to have to get out and run. And I know that's not something that LeBron loves doing. He is more, especially in the playoffs, he's kind of hardwired at this stage of his career to walk the ball up the court and then pick on a certain player over the course of the game. But that's an effective approach to clutch moments, but that's not a very effective approach over the first 40 or so minutes of a basketball game. I just thought that, you know, in this one, the Lakers just looked really unorganized. I thought in terms of preparation for this game, physically and tactically, that the Lakers were really lacking. And I think the guy who felt that the most was actually LeBron. And, you know, JJ, one of the first things he said in his presser tonight was how he needs to figure out ways to get LeBron more involved in the design of the offense. And that's going to be a major adjustment. Because the Lakers, if this is a series played in the 90s, the Lakers are going to get their asses kicked. It's not going to go well for them. They need to get those scores up. They need to get the pace of play quickened, and they need to be more effective than they were offensively in this one. One of the ways that they need to be more effective is to get out and run. I don't want to completely overreact to one game. It is a 7-game series. These things can be long. But I am nervous about what I saw from Austin in this game. a lot of step back jumpers, a lot of, you know, a couple shots from beyond 30 feet from the basket. Not a ton, you know, in the in-between game. And, you know, of the Lakers' big three, he's actually probably the best equipped at getting by guys and taking advantage of Minnesota's aggressiveness on the perimeter. And I just thought that he was kind of swallowed up, maybe not necessarily by the moment, but certainly by Minnesota's athleticism and length and physicality. So he's going to have to, what did he shoot? Did he shoot a free throw? He shot 3 free throws. I think a couple of them were on Tex, and I think he had 1 and 1. But 3 free throws for him isn't enough. And, you know, he's going to have to be a lot better if the Lakers are going to win this thing. He and LeBron kind of watched the Luka show in the first quarter, and then Luka subbed out, and that lineup where it was him and LeBron really kind of suffered in that. It's like that honestly, those first minutes where Luka sat, I thought the game completely flipped on its head, and the Lakers just didn't handle those minutes very well. And they're going to have to be a lot better if they're going to win, if they're going to win game two, let alone 4 more wins, picking up the 4 wins that they need to win the series. All this said, it is just one game. And I don't think Minnesota is going to shoot quite the way that they did in this one. I think the Lakers are going to marinate on this for a couple of games and hopefully walk away from this thing and say, like, all right, we need to play with a lot more force than they did in this game. As far as adjustments, it's kind of difficult to make an adjustment when you play small as much as the Lakers play small. So I think Jackson is going to have to be more involved. Jaden McDaniels actually commented on this. This is from Ben Golliver. Timberwolves, Jaden McDaniels on Lakers centerless lineups after Minnesota's game one win. If Hayes isn't out there, I'm basically the tallest person out there. I don't think no one can really rim protect me because Jackson Hayes wasn't on the court, end quote. The Lakers, you know, we always talk about barriers for entry. And when they are as small as they are against this Minnesota team, they risk falling below that barrier for entry in terms of just size, especially up front. And I thought Jackson, you know, when the Lakers are really cooking, he scores about 10 points or so. I would like to look at the Lakers' record when he scores at least 10 points, Jackson. And, you know, a lot of it is because when Jackson scores, it's all on easy buckets. It's putback dunks, it's alley-oops, it's, you know, catch and dunk type of opportunities. And I thought tonight, you know, partially because of, some of the physicality stuff, but the Lakers, just that aspect of their offense was completely lacking. And now I think that's also part of the impact of not running organized offense more. I think Jackson feels that quite a bit. Because normally when the Lakers run sets, right, they completely break down a defense and players wind up having to make a choice between shading towards an open shooter in the corner or shading towards Jackson in the dunker spot. And that's how Jackson picks up some of those dunks. Tonight, it was just, you know, the Lakers just, tried the pickup basketball thing. And I thought Minnesota, that plays into Minnesota's strengths. You know, pickup basketball is typically won by the more athletic team, the more individually talented team. And in terms of physical gifts, and the Lakers are not that in this series. Minnesota's a hell of a lot more athletic, a hell of a lot longer, a hell of a lot more physical. And, you know, the Lakers are going to have to play chess to Minnesota's checkers. And in this case, I thought the Lakers played checkers against Minnesota and just got their asses kicked. So the Lakers need to turn this more into a chess game and take it away from the checkers that Minnesota is very capable of playing. Now, Minnesota, they can also run some organized offense too. I think Chris Finch is very good at that stuff, but the Lakers are going to have to make this more of a chess match than it was tonight. Otherwise they just don't have they don't really have much of a chance playing checkers against Minnesota. All right. I'm going to make this kind of a shorter one because, it's a Saturday night and the Lakers just got their asses kicked in a playoff game. So I'm going to go right to some of the comments here. And we do have one super comment. So, fuck Washington! All right. First one comes from JK Productions. This wasn't just shooting luck. Minnesota got clean looks on all night. I would agree. Even on misses, the Lakers can't rebound. ESPN gives Lakers a 30% chance. That feels dark. Dark times could, or that feels right. Dark times could be coming. I don't know. I mean, I think the Lakers have enough there to come back and win game two. And then, you know, the Lakers they haven't been the best in terms of road success this year. So that makes me a little nervous. But yeah, I mean, anytime you lose game one and certainly the way that they lost game one, it's kind of hard to feel all that optimistic from this one. But I don't know. I'll believe that the Lakers don't have a chance if we see a lot of the same stuff in game two. If the Lakers come out and we don't see, you know, more strategic offense, if we see the Lakers give up as many comfortable open jumpers as we saw tonight, then it's like, okay, all right, we completely overrated the Lakers. But if the Lakers, I think, and I think this is where the offense needs to help the defense. If the Lakers run some more stuff and force Minnesota to take the ball out of their own net and run more organized offense themselves, that's where I think we'll start to see this series swing back in the Lakers' favor. But yeah, I mean, I totally understand why people would watch that game and be like, oh no, we suck again. Like, it's, you know, I understand the take, and part of me might even feel that way to a certain extent, but I'll believe that the Lakers are completely out of it when we see them completely out of it. You know, I do think, like, SoCal Golf writes, you know, the Lakers were arrogant to think this would be a cakewalk. I do think there was a little bit of arrogance in this one, especially after that first quarter where they show up and they're like, wow, this is even easier than we thought. And they backed way off, and then Minnesota took it to them and they never really recovered. That worries me a little bit, you know, that lack of resiliency that we didn't see there. But yeah, I think the overall takeaway here is the Lakers need to figure out a way, like, even more importantly than the organized offense, even more importantly than the defense, even more importantly than, like, playoff basketball is physical. Playoff basketball is a street fight. It's a dog fight. And if the Lakers get punked physically the way that they were in this one, where Austin didn't look comfortable, Hayes looked like, you know, a stiff breeze was going to knock him over, Julius Randle was just thrilled to be pushing anybody in his, you know, even distant vicinity. I thought Gabe was completely swallowed up by Minnesota's length and give a bleep. If we see that again from the Lakers, that's where I'll be like, all right, cool, the season's over. But I think we're a little ways away from that. But hey, you know, I'm also not going to sit here and put lipstick on a pig. You know, that game was an ass kicking, and you know, it just kind of is what it is. It kind of sucks having a couple of days off because we have to stew in this shit. But you know, hopefully the Lakers get frustrated hearing about how, whoa, wow, did we overrate the Lakers? Hopefully the Lakers hear enough of that stuff, come into the next one and punch back, right? Fight back. All right. That is, I believe, going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge. No lowdown tonight, but I will pop back into the lounge tomorrow. If you guys have any questions, leave them in the form of, of a 5-star review. And I'll get to them tomorrow when we get back from Easter festivities. Everybody, please be safe out there for your Easter festivities. And enjoy it, right? And to those of you celebrating, to those of you not, enjoy your Sunday. And I will be right back in the lounge probably tomorrow night sometime. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.